I'm going to read our call to worship. I'm kind of excited about this morning's message. And the title is According to God's Grace. And our call to worship is in Colossians 3, starting with verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. I think that's important as we're talking about spiritual gifts today. And as we talk about that, it's easy for us to say, look at me. But it's God that provides the spiritual gifts. And it's us that work out our salvation by serving Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this time of year, that we can prepare our hearts for the biggest event that ever happened. And that's you coming to earth and dying for our sins. And bigger than that yet, Lord, you were resurrected on the third day, and you now live and intercede for us. And Lord, there's so many problems and difficulties in our life, and what's so cool is you are interceding even when we don't know how to pray. You pray for us. We thank you so much for that gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8 today. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Now, I need to, before we start today, I need to just talk briefly about some controversy in the gifts. There's several organizations, churches that believe that some of the gifts, especially the sign gifts, ended at the apostolic era. Those would be the outward sign ones, like the speaking in tongues and the interpreting and the healing and stuff like that. And quite honestly, I don't see anything in Scripture that says God gives some gifts for a period of time. Now, I'm not a scholar. I'm just telling you that I haven't seen anything and found anything. And so what I want to do today is just simply talk to you about the seven gifts that are seen in this text, and talk to you about why God gives us spiritual gifts, because we are given them for a specific purpose. And so just know that's what we're going to be doing today. The gifts are primarily given to us to encourage the saints. Who were the saints? Christians. Those in the church. And so that's why we are given spiritual gifts, to encourage one another in acts of service. Ephesians 4, 1 through 13 says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is only one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and God the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given us as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to them. What does he ascended mean, except that he descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all heavens in order to be filled with the universe. Talk about Jesus. He was in heaven, then he descended into the earth, and then he ascended higher than anybody. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. A couple weeks ago, I started talking about Romans chapter 12. So I need to read for you, starting with verse 3, just kind of priming our mind what we have been talking about. Starting with verse 3 through 5. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, listen to this, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we through many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. That makes sense to me. I mean, we all have bodies, and each part of our body, there's all many different parts, all intertwined and all wrapped up into this skin. Right? That makes sense. It's the same way with the body of Christ. Each one of us has a different purpose and a different gift to be used for the body. That's what Paul's talking about. So we have some statements here that I want to talk about, just mentioned, actually. Do not think more highly of yourself. You have a gift given of God. You had nothing to do with it. Use your gift in accordance with the faith that God has distributed for you. And we are all part of the one body. We are all part of that one body. And then looking back in verse 2 then in Romans 12, do not be like the world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So everything that we think and everything that we do, everything that that goes on in our body, everything that we perceive, be renewed by God's word. Let God's work change you from the inside out. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So I want to encourage all of you, take the Bible and let it change you from the inside out. Let it encourage you. Let it motivate you. Let every thought be run through the filter of God's Word. I have a illustration, and it's not from Chuck Swindoll, and it's not from my Nelson Book of Illustration. It is from online. I found a very interesting story. It's called Understanding Salvation. And I got it from BibleHelp.org. The boy stands defiant. This is from a few years back when you could actually discipline kids in school. Can't do that anymore. The boy stands defiantly with his head cocked back and his hands clenched. Go ahead, give it to me, I can take it. The principal looks down at the young rebel. How many times have you been here? The child sneers rebelliously. Apparently not enough. The principal gives the boy a strange look and says, you have been punished each time, have you not? Yeah, I've been punished, if that's what you call it. He throws out his small chest and says, go ahead, I can take whatever you dish out. I always have. Carefully studying the boy's face, the principal says, are there any thoughts of punishment when you break these rules? Nope, I do whatever I want. Ain't nothing you people gonna do to stop me neither. I think you need to go to a little English class. The principal looks over at the teacher who is sitting nearby and asks, "What did he do this time?" "Fighting. He took little Tommy and shoved his face into the sandbox." The principal turns and looks at the boy and asks, "Why? What did little Tommy do to you?" "Nothing. I didn't like the way he was looking at me, just like I don't like the way you're looking at me right now. In fact, if I thought I could do it, I'd shove your face into something." Quite a story. The teacher stiffens and starts to rise, but a quick look from the principal stops him. He contemplates the child for a moment and then quietly says, "Today, my young student, is the day you will learn about grace." "Grace? Isn't that what you old people do before you eat a meal? I don't need any of your stinking grace." "Oh, but you do," said the principal. After studying the boy's face, he whispers, "Oh, yes, you truly need grace." The boy glared as the principal continued, "Grace, in its short definition, is unmerited favor. You can't earn grace, my child. Grace is a gift that is always freely given. Grace means that you will not be getting what you so richly deserve." The boy looks puzzled. "You're not going to whoop me? You're just going to let me walk? The principal looks down at the unyielding child and said, "Yes, I'm going to let you walk." The boy studies the face of the principal and says, "No punishment at all? You're not going to punish me even though I socked Tommy and shoved his face into the sandbox?" "Oh, there has to be punishment. What you did was wrong, and there will always be consequences for our actions. There will be punishment. Grace is not an excuse for doing wrong." "I knew it," sneered the boy, holding out his hands and says, "Let's get on with it." The principal nods toward the teacher and says, "Bring me the belt." The teacher presents the belt to the principal. He carefully folds it in two and hands it back to the teacher. He looks at the child and says, "I want you to count the blows." The principal slides out from behind the desk and walks over to the child. The child stands defiantly with his hands outstretched. The principal gently moves the child's expectant hands down to its sides. Turning to the teacher, the principal stretches out his own hands and quietly says, "Begin." The belt slaps against the principal's outstretched hands. Crack! The boy jumps. Shock registered across the face. "One," he whispered. "Crack! Two." His voice raises an octave. "Crack! Three." He was unable to believe this. "Crack! Four." Big tears well up in his eyes and of the young rebel. "Okay, stop! That's enough! Stop! Crack!" The belt continues to come down on the principal's swollen hands. "Crack!" The child flinches with each blow. Tears start rolling, streaming down the child's face. "Crack! Crack! No, please," the former rebel begs. "Stop! I'm the one who did it. I'm the one who deserves the punishment. Stop! Please stop!" The boy sobs. Still, the blows come. Crack! Crack! Finally, it's all over. The principal, with sweat glistening across his forehead, turns to the former rebel and kneels down, carefully creating the child's face with his swollen hands. The principal softly says, "This, my boy, is grace. This story is an excellent example of God's grace, unmerited favor. Just as the boy received the opposite of what he deserved, we too can receive the opposite of what we deserve. Although some people feel that an almighty God can forgive and forget our sins, he can't. His holy and righteous nature demands he properly deal with our sins. Every transgression has to be punished. There are always consequences for our actions. Fortunately for us, God stepped forward and was punished in our place. He bore the stripes we deserve. He was bruised and pierced for our place. God's grace, unmerited favor, means we did not get what we so richly deserve. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the punishment that you took on our behalf. We are grateful. Lord, I pray that you'll be with everyone here, and as we contemplate that gift of grace, Lord, teach us to love you more deeply. Amen. Our text today says, according to the grace given to us, according to the grace given to us, we are given gifts simply for the God's honor and glory. Because he covered our sins with his blood, we are given gifts to worship him in spirit and in truth. Romans 12:6, if you have your Bibles open, Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Our text today starts by saying that we all have different gifts. That simply means that we're all different. Well, that's an insight, isn't it? We're all different. Therefore, we are given different gifts to edify the body of Christ. If one of us decides not to come and be a part of the body anymore, it affects the entire body. We need the entire body because we all affect one another. Wayne Grudem, who wrote Systematic Theology, says this about spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in the ministry of the church. Verse 6 goes on to say that if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy with accordance to your faith. Most people think that prophesying has to do with foretelling of the future, and certainly that's part of it. But prophesying simply has something to do with God giving you or somebody something that has to be shared with somebody else. Why? To edify the body of Christ. Telling something what God has spontaneously brought to mind. I do not have the ability to preach. I do not. My family could tell you that. I physically and humanly, it's impossible for me to do what I do. But it is a gift that God has given me through his Spirit. A few years back, I was fortunate to lead a fourth grader to the Lord. And he would come and talk to me months later, and he would say, Pastor, they don't listen to me. And I'm like, what do you mean they don't listen to you? And he would say, I go to school and I share Jesus with all my buddies. But they don't listen to me. What do you think his gift is? We all have a gift. We all have a gift. Probably about 6 years ago, April, about 6 years ago, we went to Costa Rica. I had an opportunity to speak in a church that we were in the town where we were. It was a large church, a very large church, and there was a guy that came to me afterwards, and of course he spoke Spanish and I didn't understand Spanish. So through an interpreter, he had told me that God had spoke to me, this guy. God had said, I need to tell this guy something. And so through an interpreter, these are the words he said to me that God told him to tell me. Preach God's word, they will listen. So that's what I've done. I preach God's word. And that's what I do. I preach God's word. And his encouragement to me was that they will listen. And that is prophecy. It doesn't say have anything to do with telling the future. It just simply is encouraging the church. Just a little side note on tongues, the speaking of tongues and prophecy. There's a lot of controversy in a lot of the churches about speaking in tongues, and I mentioned that controversy earlier, but listen to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, why are we given spiritual gifts? Somebody help me out. Huh? Why are we given spiritual gifts? To serve others. Where? In the church. In the church. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Follow the way of love. Well, of course, 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love, right? And so 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Why prophecy, I wonder? And even though we don't, this text doesn't talk about speaking in tongues, but speaking in tongues does not necessarily edify the body of Christ. It edifies the person speaking in tongues or edifies God. So sometimes people, they have gifts or they have abilities and they say, look at me, look what I can do. And so the outward gifts are sometimes used to pat themselves on the back. Let's go on. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries of the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And what did we say in Romans 12:3? Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. And so the encouragement that I would have, and I'm not saying anything against speaking in tongues. If you speak in tongues, that's great. But the gifts are given to us to edify the body, to edify the church, to encourage the saints, like that guy did in Costa Rica to me, to encourage me to speak God's word. Why? So that the church would be encouraged. Moving on to verses 7 and 8, Romans 12, 7 and 8. If it is serving, then serve. These are all talking about spiritual gifts. Now we're going to talk about six more of them. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. As I read these gifts, I want to encourage all of you that just because someone has a gift to do something, that doesn't mean that you don't do it too. Being a servant, that's a gift. If you are a servant, then serve. That's what Paul says. But what does Jesus teach? To serve others. We are all to have a servant attitude. If we are in a potluck and we need more chairs, someone with the gift of servant is going to do what? Automatically, go get more chairs. But all of us need to have the attitude of Jesus, who taught serve one another. The same thing with teaching. And we know for certain that there are people in this group here that have the gift of teaching. Just so you know, the gift of teaching is not just for Sunday school teachers and pastors. All through scriptures, God tells the people of Israel to teach what? Teach my commandments. To who? The Israelites. First of all, to your children, and then teach everybody who is listening the principles of God. We are all to be teachers. Now, sometimes, and the reason why he puts this in here, if it is teaching, then teach. That sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? That's what your gift is. You need to do it. Teachers, raise your hand. Okay? We have several in here. Teaching takes work. It takes a lot of work. And what Paul, I believe, is saying is, if you are teaching, don't be discouraged. Study hard. Study and be ready for your pupils. And some teachers get discouraged because their listeners don't learn. I was one of those learners. Be encouraged. Continue to teach. If your gift is encouragement, then look for people to encourage. Now, you have to understand here, this is not just for people with the gift of encouragement. Even though, you probably know people that love to come up to you and say, oh, I love the way you did this, or I love the way this happened when you did that. Those people have the gift of encouragement. Use that gift. But all of us need to look for people that with qualities and encourage them. If your spiritual gift is giving, then Paul says to give generously. Well, that kind of makes sense. Acts 4:36-37, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Here we have a guy named Joseph, and we know him as Barnabas in the Bible. Barnabas is known for being an encourager. What does he do? He uses something he owns, he sells it, and he gives the money. He's using two gifts, but he's using the gift of encouragement to encourage others by giving something that he has. You see how that works? If your gift is to show mercy, listen to this. If your gift is to show mercy, you will have others in your group that want to judge. But Paul says to show mercy cheerfully, even though there might be opposition. You know, there's one thing that Paul doesn't say here. He says that if you have a gift, it's going to be easy. We need to do our gift. We need to do our gift because God has given it to us to encourage the saints. So how do you find out what your gift is? By the way, how many of you know what your spiritual gift is? Anybody? Okay, couple. How do you find out what your gift is? Well, they're listed here. There's seven of them. And if you look in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 12, make a list of all the spiritual gifts. Just write them down and then look at them. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have made Jesus king of your life, you are given at least one gift. That's promised to us. And so write them down. Find out what they are first, and then kind of look through them and say, you know what? I kind of like to do this one. That's probably your gift. Another way to find out is ask somebody, ask your spouse or ask your best friend, which, do I do this? And your people that know you good enough to say, oh yeah, that's your gift. And so if you don't know what it is, ask somebody, write them down. Look, pray about it because God wants us to use our gifts. But here's the deal. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, you might have abilities, but you don't have a spiritual gift. You need to come on your knees to Jesus Christ. This is a topic I probably would never have talked on, but it's in Romans. It's in Romans chapter 12. It's an important text. I want to encourage all of you, whether you know what your gift is or not, to seek God with all of your heart. Pursue Him. If your gift is giving, give to generously. If it is encouraging, encourage one another. If it is evangelism, share Jesus. Like this fourth grader that I know. Encourage one another. By the way, that fourth grader I married this last summer, and at this moment, he's on his way back from Mexico. They went on a belated honeymoon, and they had a great time, from what I understand. But I just encourage all of you to do your gift. Do your gift. And if you know what it is, you don't have an excuse. If you don't know what it is, pursue it to edify the body of Christ. Amen. I know that in most Baptist circles, talking about the gifts of the Spirit or anything that has to do with the Spirit is probably a little bit strange. But we need to understand that there's three parts to God. And for those of you who have taught children, you've probably thought of all different kinds of ways to explain God. And he's God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are God. All three are different. They have a special purpose. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin. And if God is convicting you of sin, you need to listen to him and come to him on broken knee. Confess your sins and repent. He is the one that convicts you. It's Jesus that had a special job of coming to earth and the Son of God dying for our sins. The blood that was shed to cover our sins. And he's coming back again someday to take all those who are waiting for him. The Bible says if you are eagerly waiting for him, he is going to come and take you home. Amen. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, what's fruit? Of something that you do? What is fruit? Huh? It's the result. I was just going to say that. It's the result. If you are living according to the Spirit, you will have fruit. There will be fruit in your life. And that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step by the Spirit. I'm not a dancer, but keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Lord, I pray that you'll be with all those that are here. Encourage everyone to pursue their gift and to do their gift. Lord, that the body might be encouraged. Amen. Have a good week.